Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Voice of the Cape, a Drive Time. In studio with us, we have a live guest, a visitor all the way from Turkey, and that's always a great pleasure. Our guest is the Honorable Dr. Mr. Kani Tarun, who is a medical doctor, but also former ambassador of Turkey in Somalia. He's an expert of Africa-Turkey relations. He's the deputy chairman of the AK Party Foreign Affairs Committee, and also the deputy chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Turkish Parliamentary Committee. This afternoon, we're going to try and get something of an insight into how Turkey is thinking about the world at the moment, the reason for the Honorable Doctor's visit, and one or two issues besides. But Dr. Tarun, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me.
I do believe this is your second visit to South Africa. I would then presume this is your second visit to Cape Town.
Yes, indeed.
Now, you are here on the behest of Musiat, which is the businessmen's association between Turkey and South Africa, who have decided to pave the way for Turkish parliamentarians to come and do a parliamentarian visit in South Africa. So I would presume then that you have already visited our houses of parliament and had a dialogue with South African politicians.
Yeah, we met some African politicians and some South African politicians. Our aim is to increase our relationship with South Africa in different levels. One is, of course, political level. Mm-hmm. The other one is business level. The other one is NGO level. So in all other levels, we would like to increase our relationship, and we are working on all these subjects.
Now, NGO level is something that immediately attracts my interest, because most missions that we talk to will always talk about trade and politics. Yet here is somebody from Turkey talking about NGO levels. What is the motivation behind this?
You know, the NGOs, actually, it is best because they can connect the communities. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, politics and business also important, but this level, the community level connection is very much important, and NGOs work on this issue is very important. I am also, as I'm a politician, but also the head of an NGO called Africa Foundation in based in Ankara. So we would like to increase Turkish relationship with Africa countries. Also, the make the, you know, the awareness about Africa, and then helping African students in Turkey, and also the helping the African studies.
It's interesting you're talking about this relationship, because we've done some previous interviews with your ambassador to this country, and she has also been stressing the idea of development. She's been talking a lot about development. Is this the kind of relationship that Turkey wants to have, not with only South Africa, but with Africa?
Yeah, of course. You know, we have many development projects all around Africa. I'm a former ambassador to Somalia. I have been working very difficult times between 2011 to 14, and then we have done many development projects in Somalia. Also other countries, you know, we supported many development projects, because what we believe is the, you know, the best way to empower communities is development, because only the famous Japanese saying, that the better to teach how to catch fish rather than giving fish.
No, absolutely. I think in Africa we are painfully aware of that, because often aid has been in the form of governments and people throwing money at a problem, the money disappears, and the problem still basically remains. In terms of Turkish people's vision for South Africa and Africa, we have noticed in Africa that Turkey seems to have a slightly different approach, for example, to the Chinese or the Americans. Number one, you come in very quietly. Number two, we often hear fairly positive reports from the communities, because it seems as if your people get involved at a community level via NGOs and via communities. Is this a deliberate policy?
Yeah, of course. You know, this is we call it soft power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Chinese have got big money, but you know, their way is different. You know, we are encouraging our business, of course, to do something with Africa, but this is not the one way process. You know, two way process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of it should be a win-win situation, which we are encouraging our business. In the meantime, there's some countries also they're using in a top-down approach, and this is not working. So the best way is to work with communities, NGOs, and you know this if the coming you know this from down to up, it's much more you know this long time, and then the community would get more benefit.
Yeah, in fact, I would probably say grassroots up, being more
yes.
of a long-term
yes.
sustainable approach in the whole process.
Yes, of course. You know, this if you support the grassroots, so you will see the you know this long-term effect.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, if you work on small, you know, this government or political organizations, only limited people benefit out of this relationship.
Now, if one looks at Turkey's whole approach in Africa and the world, do you think people don't really know enough about Turkey as a country? Number one, that you are, I think, the 15th biggest economy in the world. Do you think a lot of people don't appreciate this? And number two, as an example, that the label DeFi is actually more Turkish than it is Japanese or any other company, just using that as an example. Do you think that part of the message might be that people need to realize that Turkey has a very big economy compared to others?
Yeah, Turkey is a big economy, and Turkish business also is very, you know, this in terms of, you know, this working in Africa, they are everywhere in Africa. Also, you know, this you know, this as I said, you know, this our approach is the joint you know venture, mainly working together and then benefit for all communities. Also, you know, the Turkey is the second biggest you know donor in the world after the United States.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of aid and development. And in terms of the GDP per capita, Turkey is the first. So this is something, you know, this our also we are helping people more than the some countries is their economy is bigger than Turkey. So we are hosting 3 million refugees, and still, you know, working in Africa and other continents when there is need, like recently in Rohingya Muslims.
If you just tuned in, it's Voice of the Cape Drive Time. Our guest is Dr. Kani Turan, a Turkish MP, former ambassador to Somalia, and deputy chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Turkish Parliamentary Committee. He's in South Africa on a parliamentary visit. What has come out of your interaction with South African parliamentarians? I mean, have you learned something? Have you taught something? What has the exchange been like?
Well, actually, you know, South Africa is good for politics. You know, this is, there is a functional democracy, and very important that, like, you know, Turkey is a functional democracy in the Middle East, and South Africa in Africa. So we have some similarities. So that's the reason, you know, we work on these similarities and increase the relationship through the parliaments and the government level.
In terms of government to government level, is there anything in particular that Turkey wants from South Africa in terms of your visit? I mean, did you come with a specific message or a specific wish?
The one issue is actually is important and would have some possibility to poison the relationship, which is the Gülenist organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we call them FETÖ. this organization actually is very you know, this, they are well established in South Africa. They have schools, and they use this opportunity against Turkey and Turkey's government. And this land, of course, you know, South Africa is a land for free speech. But you know, this if plotting against another country is not good. So this this issue also would be, as I said, you know, possibility to poison the relationship. That's the reason we are actually explaining our South African counterparts and NGOs and everybody. That is, who is these people? Why we are against them, and what they did in Turkey last year, you know, it's the 15th of July.
Okay, I hear what you say, but I mean, would you concede that around the world, particularly in South Africa, there might be people, let's say the Gulenist camp, who might work for the organization, but who may not have been involved in its policies, but who are now being affected by the current situation because the money has been cut off? And let's be honest, that some of the schools are in fact struggling financially. What is your answer to that?
Actually, you know, this, some African countries, they close down their schools because, you know what they do? They use your kids against yourself, like they did in Turkey, you know? They used our kids. They brainwashed those kids in the army or police, and then they killed 250 civilians cold-bloodedly. So this is not just Turkish problem anymore, because we are dealing in Turkey, and then they are actually mostly, you know, this the in the government departments, they are out now. But outside of Turkey, they are still active and operating. And in South Africa, for example, those they use education. You know, they say, you know, we are just education organization, but they have different agenda. They have double faces. You know, different agenda, and then that agenda is not serving the Muslims around the world. The agenda actually is serving U.S. and Israeli interests. And those schools, you send your children, they will use those children against you, against Muslims, for the benefit of Israel and America.
So how exactly would they be using these interests, as you say, these Zionist American interests against us in a country like South Africa? What would be the methodology? What would they be teaching? Because we haven't seen much evidence of this in South Africa, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what they did in Turkey. You know, they infiltrated in government organizations, mm-hmm. but powerful. You know, the organizations, they use power. Judiciary, army, police, and intelligence. And they use these organizations against Turkish people, and the coup happened. Same as outside of Turkey, the schools, they operate, they take the children of the business people, bureaucrats, and politicians, and brainwash them. And then they, after they become, because the after the education, because of their family background, they will get powerful government departments. At the end of the day, they will use these people. It's like you know, this the agent of, you know, the Zionism. So they use those kids when they get government positions against the Muslim cause.
Okay, then what would you describe as the Gulenist agenda in Turkey? What did they want? I mean, I think every person around the world was against the coup. A military coup is not the way to run a democracy, let's face it. What would you describe? What was the agenda within Turkey? Because you must understand that in other parts of the world, we're still trying to understand exactly what happened, because it's very unclear.
First of all, they are after power. For power, they do everything, you know, because this is a cult organization, cult. They believe their leader speaks Prophet Muhammad every night. They believe their leader, if their leader says, you drink alcohol, they drink alcohol. And they did in the army, in police, you know, when the secular or when they are in secular organizations, they did this to show them that they are secular. So they use every way to disguise themselves, and then time comes, they get the power. So they are after power. Who will use that power? That is the important issue. That this guy has been living in the US for last 20 years, and then and he has sided with Israel in any issue arise in the Muslim world, like, you know, this Gaza issue, like that you know, the Mavi Marmara flotilla issue, mm-hmm. all the issues, they blame the Muslims and the victims rather than Israel. So the clearly agenda is not Muslim agenda. They when they get the power, if God forbid, if they would get power, now Turkey would be in a different way. And then they would use Turkey against any Islamic cause in the Middle East. So that is the issue that Muslims should understand, that kind of, you know, I'll tell you something, you know, this, because the Muslims mainly here from the Southeast Asia origin, they can understand what I am saying. It's 19th century Qadiani movement is exactly the same now as the Gülen movement. You know, they, that time, that that movement used against Muslims by the colonial power. Now, same kind of organization, they are using this organization against Muslims again.
Okay, it's interesting stuff. I'm sure you must appreciate in South Africa that we are not here to take sides. We are trying to just understand all the different viewpoints in this particular argument. And I'm sure you'll agree most South Africans only wish the best for Turkey in the long term, in any case. But let's move on to other issues. Turkey at the moment is definitely in the spotlight. You live in a very nervous neighborhood. You've got the Syrian situation on your doorstep. Alhamdulillah, Syria has taken in millions of Syrian refugees. Nobody else has. Where does Turkey stand right now in terms of all these problems we see in the Middle East?
First of all, the Middle East, you know, this needs peace, not war.
And a magician?
Unfortunately, no magician. Unfortunately, last 15 years, since the beginning of Afghan war, you know, the, after 9/11, the Middle East actually is in bloodbath. Mm-hmm. You know, millions of people died. Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, and the Arab rising, you know, many people died. And when the Arab Spring start, that the people had hope that finally, you know, the Arabs embrace democracy and the people say their, you know, this will. But that didn't happen. Unfortunately, West act, you know, this they have a double standard, and this is, you know, this this kind of, you know, this acting. You know, this one standard for the West, one standard for Middle East and Muslims is not good. You know, this is they did one what happened in Egypt, the coup, and then the other parts of Arab world, and now even after the military coup, when it started, that they waited until the government become, you know, this successful. You know, they did not, you know, this, you know, condemn until the government to get the power back. So this is something, you know, this the very very bad way. So in the Middle East now, you know, the Syria is still in bloodbath. Iraq is divided, very, you know, this deep divisions. And Saudi UAE pact against Qatar, and now against Lebanon. So there may be another war in the Middle East, the result of this.
And let's hope that there isn't.
Yeah, inshallah. I mean, if there is, we don't need more war in the Middle East. We don't need more divisions. So the, in this situation, as Turkey, you know, we want to be... a mediator between these the groups and then protect Muslims. But unfortunately, all these divisions, all these, you know, physical wars, who is benefiting out of this? Not Muslims, of course. None of the Muslim countries. Who is benefiting? Only Israel is benefiting. Because more Muslim divide, more Muslim fighting each other, Israel gets, you know, this more new settlements in the you know, this West Bank, and they may do another war in Gaza, because Muslims are fighting each other, so they are free now to do everything. So we need to think this, and then you know, be unite.
Indeed. And as we start to wind down on the interview, what are you going to take with you when you go back to Ankara, in terms of your second South African visit?
You know, I hopefully will come more to South Africa, because South Africa is a power base of African continent. So, as you know, this I am a long-term fan of Africa, and then worked in for Africa.
Yes, before in Somalia, yes.
Yeah, before Somalia, actually, for 10 years, I was the head of chief of an NGO, worked for Africa. Mm-hmm. So, since 2000, I have been working for Africa. So, I would like to do more things for Africa and the Turkish African relationship. Inshallah, when I go back, do more work to you know, deepen these relationships. Hopefully, after the new after the elections at the ANC, then between two parties, AK Party, mm-hmm. our party, and the ANC, will get more and deepen relationships.
I mean to that, Dr. Turan, MP, Kani Turan, and also Deputy Chairman, Foreign Affairs Committee of the Turkish Parliamentary Committee, also a member of high-ranking member of Parliament. He was involved with African NGOs for 10 years, as well as being the ambassador for Turkey in Somalia, so he knows his way around Africa. Doctor, thanks for chatting to us. Everything of the best. I know you have to rush to the airport to catch an aeroplane, but thanks for taking time to visit us at Voice of the Cape.
Thank you. Thank you very much.